With a heart for children, especially those with disabilities, Melinda Mott Lefwich has touched many lives through her work. Melinda, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
We were talking off the air. Welcome again.
Thank you.
This show is a little different because it's about the who, and we're going to just have a great time, and my job is to listen, which is very, very difficult for me. But you have a story to tell, and we're excited about hearing from you. So what we'd really do is it's the biblical, spiritual sides. We talk about who are you? Where'd you come from? Where were you born? Going through elementary, your friends, your family, your faith, anything you want to share with us, and then it'll just naturally unfold. And, of course, we do talk about the what, but that's where we're going to go. So where were you born? What happened?
I was born right here in Cookeville, Tennessee, okay, at the old Cookeville General Hospital.
There you go.
And I'm the youngest of four siblings, and I came along later in my parents' life. One of my favorite birthday cards I ever received from my late brother David said, "You're the best mistake our parents ever made." Happy birthday.
That is wonderful.
So I was a surprise, and dad was a fixture in the community as the general manager of WHUB radio station
for
50 years, Stacy Mott.
Sure.
And my mother, Betty Mott, a lot of people knew. She used to work at First National Bank and many other places, and they were wonderful people, and I was very blessed to have them as parents.
Well, you're homegrown.
I am.
For real. I'm for real. So elementary, high school, friends, growing up, how did you...
I had a really wonderful experience. I've always loved school. I've always loved learning. I had a lot of good role models with my older siblings who were good students, and my parents, you know, were pretty keen on us doing well in school, and they supported us. And I went to, actually, where I went to kindergarten was so cool. It was... For a while, it was the alternative school, but many years ago, it was Dry Valley Kindergarten.
Okay.
And the entire school was full of kindergarten only because it was before the elementary schools had added kindergarten to their schools.
I see.
So in that wonderful, shining year, it was a whole school full
of
kindergartners.
You had a whole class of all your age.
About six classes, I think, And then that school later did become the alternative school. And we had a great little setup out there with a tiny, short cafeteria line at the height for cafeteria trays for kindergartners. So then I made friends there and then started. I was in the first grade class at Northeast Elementary when it was a brand new school.
When it had the whole... Okay, good.
And so actually many of the friends that I made in elementary school were my friends throughout junior high, as we used to call it, and high school, and lots of local folks, and then some people whose parents had moved here to work at Tennessee Tech or in industry. And
sure.
I was really fortunate to have a nice group of friends and lots of fun. And
had a good time.
Yes.
And you got through high school.
Yes.
Anything you want to talk about there or moving
on?
I
was pretty involved in high school in leadership roles in student congress and other organizations. I had kind of followed in the footsteps of my siblings who were very active in different things in high school. And I enjoyed all of that. And then I went to Tech and studied child development. And I graduated from there and... Then I went to graduate school at the University of Alabama.
Okay.
Roll Tide.
Well, you know, I guess so. We'll have to.
I just had to throw that in.
I'd be disappointed if you didn't. You got to be for who you're for. You got to just be who you are. Go Alabama. I understand.
Well, two of my children have now graduated from University of Tennessee, so I actually support
Tennessee. You made up for it.
Every time, except that third Saturday of October or whenever they play that Alabama game.
So. I love because I'm a sports nut, football rivalries in the South.
It's fun.
Great. So University of Tennessee, University of Alabama, and here we go, right?
That's good Tennessee stuff. Tech, actually,
and
for
Tennessee
me.
Tech, yes.
Yes.
But the big orange is back.
That's right.
So when you finished school, your children and carry us on your journey.
So when I came back after my grad school, I got married the following year to a local, Stuart Leftwich. He's a CPA.
Sure,
he's worked
yes.
with his dad for many years.
Yes.
And so I had actually a really cool opportunity. I worked for the W.K. Kellogg Foundation, the mm-hmm. cereal company.
Sure.
There were some community partners who had written a grant to establish something called the Training Resource Center.
Okay.
And I was a curriculum specialist there, and I had a chance to work with all these different social service agencies. And that mm-hmm. was really my first exposure to a lot of different things that organizations were doing in the community to help people. Mm-hmm. And I worked there for 3 years, and I learned so much from all our community partners, who included Tennessee Tech, Rural Maggie Phelps was the person from okay. Tennessee Tech.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember if it was called Rural Education, but there were several partners, the Community Services Agency mm-hmm. and Johnny Wheeler was
sure.
one of our partners with UCHRA, and I really enjoyed that whole experience. I got to supervise college students on social service internships.
That's great.
And really develop the program and also help accredit early childhood mm-hmm. Centers like Head Start centers.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to become an accreditor for the National Association for the Education of Young Children. And
wow,
so
okay.
that was really a fun thing to get to do and be trained and go in and see the great work that our local child care centers were doing and make sure they were aware of policies and, you
mm-hmm.
know,
mm-hmm.
keeping the children safe and doing everything they were supposed to be doing.
Okay. Yeah. We have a wonderful, obviously, network of things and programs that most people really aren't aware of unless you're directly involved. So that's where part of this program is sharing what you do and who you do it with and how we do it. And so it's just a great opportunity. And we're going to be talking more about that, people with disabilities and tennis.
Okay.
We'll be going there. But so you got through that. How did you get further along to what you're doing today?
It has been a very winding pathway to where I am today. So after I worked for that Training Resource Center, I took several years off, and I was privileged to be a stay-at-home mom to my
sure.
three children.
Wow.
I have a daughter who's now 26, and then I have two boys who are just turned 23 yesterday. And they are twins, but I usually don't refer to them as twins for some reason. I always wanted them to have their separate identities.
Individual, sure.
And yeah. they don't look anything alike, and they're about 5 inches different in height. So I was a stay-at-home mom, but I was always really active at Capshaw School. I helped
sure.
start a program called Swallow Studio, where we added art education into the school.
That's great.
And I was a scout leader for Cub Scouts, den leader, and taught Sunday school, and have been involved in many different things. And I like to give back, and I mm-hmm. like to stay busy, and mm-hmm. my mind's always racing with ideas and usually gets me into trouble.
That's great. So you were three children, and you were active, and you weren't just staying at home. You were out doing some things. So you've had a life of that. So now let's go. Just anything else you want to talk about on that, let me know about your experiences during that time.
I think the main thing that probably led into the tennis was actually a little bit later on, as my children were in middle school and entering high school, my parents' health started declining.
Okay.
Because they were a little bit older than most of my friends' parents.
Sure.
And I was dealing with some stress, you know, related to helping take care of them.
Sure.
And my mother suggested I should go to this tennis clinic she saw in the newspaper. And so I said, oh, Mom, you know, I really don't know how to play. I only took one class in college, and I wasn't very good. And she said, well, you know, you won't learn if you don't try.
That's great.
And it was something she had always wanted to do herself and didn't have the opportunity. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. She had an old wooden racket that kicked around in our garage for decades, and I think we killed wasps with it.
Oh, yeah, good flash water, right?
So I went to that clinic, and then I knew several people who were there. Emily Ward, she's a friend of mine still, and she invited me to come back and play. And she was a much more experienced player than me, but everyone, mm-hmm. Encouraged me to stick with it. And then I got involved in the local tennis association on the leadership side as a volunteer and started running adult programs and trying to develop programs that were friendly for beginners, because when I started, they weren't offering a lot of things for beginners. And most of their programming was geared toward people who already knew how to play.
Okay.
So then kind of that feeling of not really fitting in and not quite being on the level.
I imagine, yeah.
Yes, it was intimidating. And it made me want to help develop programs for people like me so that people would feel like they belonged, even if they were new.
So you were on the forefront with others, of course, of bringing tennis to another level in this community. Beginners being inviting, being open. We
definitely changed we started expanding and offering more, I think, for beginners.
That's great. We're nearing the end of our first segment, but we come back, we're going to continue the journey. We're back with Melinda Mott Lefwich.
Thank you.
And with I've loved what you said a while ago offline, but that's who you are, so we're going to recognize that. So we're talking about service and exposure and what you've been doing, and the journey is still going on, but it's just really getting started. So let's pick up where we left off about tennis and you getting involved, and then what you were doing, and how that transitioned into the next stage in your journey.
Okay, so I was volunteering with our local community tennis association, which is actually a division of the United States Tennis Association. Mm-hmm. And it used to be called the Cookeville Tennis Association, but we rebranded ourselves as Tennis Upper Cumberland to try to, since we serve several counties around this region. So we go by Tennis Upper Cumberland mm-hmm. on Facebook, and I'm still the president of that organization.
Oh, okay. Sure.
But a few years back, in about 2019, we had looked at our bylaws and thought there wasn't really a service component to what we were doing mm-hmm. particularly. Mm-hmm. So the person who actually founded the whole tennis association originally, he's the high school coach here. His name is Brian Rohr, and he also teaches special education. So obviously this is his really in his wheelhouse, and he suggested that we try to write a grant to offer an adaptive program. So I wrote the grant with his assistance, and then we received a $1,500 grant initially from USTA Southern. That's what we used to buy the equipment that I'm still using today. Hmm. Most of it's still working. The balls have died, most of them, the tennis balls. But so that's how we really got our start. And we approached a different organization because we didn't have participants initially. So I always got T-shirts from a local business, and one of the owners was Kim Wise, and she had started an organization many years before called Structured Athletics for Challenged Children.
Ooh, okay.
And I knew that they offered different sports in short seasons throughout the year, so I called her up one day and I said, "Hey, Kim, would you guys be interested in having a summer sport?" And she said, "Sure." And I said, "We could run tennis for you." So that first year, Coach Rohr got all of the students from Cookeville High School who played for him, and they were our primary volunteers that first season.
Okay.
But then the second season was 2020, and we all know what happened in 2020.
Yes.
So with our athletes having fragile health concerns, we definitely couldn't take any chances with COVID. So the program was just on hold during 2020. And then in 2021, we had a little bit of a leadership change, and so it was just me at that point. And I was looking for a little bit of help, and thankfully the Tennessee Tech coach who just retired, Kenny Doyle, he happened to call me, and it was really random. I wasn't even going to ask him about it. And he just asked me what was going on, and I said, well, I was trying to figure out how these adaptive tennis sessions were going to work because I didn't have all my volunteers lined up. And he said that the Tennessee Tech men's tennis team would be willing to help me. And I will never forget, he said, tell me your dates. And I told him, and he said, well, I'm sorry, we can only help you 5 of those 6 dates. I said, only five of the six. I said, I can cover the other date, Kenny. We won't even worry about that.
Wow, that's great.
So it really boosted our program, and the Tech men's tennis has been involved with us ever since then. And really has been such a blessing to our athletes. They really respond well to the age of the college students. And everyone who's on the Tech team is an international student.
Wow.
And so it exposes our athletes to people from all around the world. And generally, the guys who play tennis for Tech, they are very good tennis players. And they've been playing tennis since they were children. It's just natural for them to help someone else learn how to play. So that's kind of where we started. But then I guess it was last summer, I realized there were all these other opportunities out there for adaptive athletes in tennis that I was unaware of. Because most of them aren't happening in Tennessee. So I found out in other southeastern states, they offer tournaments. And I realized that we could change our program and make it more of a competitive track where we were trying to teach towards something and have an end goal for some of the athletes. And so I approached our Tennis Upper Cumberland board and said, what do you think about me separating this out and creating a new nonprofit so that we can each have a really clear focus?
Sure.
And we don't want to, you know, water down what the Tennis Association's doing, don't want to water down our accessible tennis program. So we'll make two standalone organizations that can still work together. And so I started the process then of developing the logo and starting just the very basics of the paperwork. And then in January, I found board members, and in March, we had our first meeting, and we've applied for our nonprofit status. I applied in May, and I haven't heard back from it yet, but that's not unusual.
It takes a
while. It's the IRS, right?
It's government. You're right. Yeah. But it takes a while.
It takes a while. I feel good about it because our board members were amazing in helping me make sure everything, all my I's were dotted, T's were crossed, and sometimes it's handy to be married to a CPA for something
like that.
That does
help. He got volunteered.
That's right, he did.
You know, there's a thread that runs through this and a theme, and we've seen this in other interviews. Things don't happen by accident. You know, it's a God thing. I mean, you think about in your journey, things that people at the right place showed up, your coaches, and things don't happen by accident. And,
I believe that's true.
We've been accused of having a faith-based show, and I'm excited about that. I think it does show how this is a real community with great people, and it's providential. And I really appreciate what you do and what you're doing. And we got a little time left in this segment. We come back, we'll be talking about the future. We'll be talking about looking in the crystal ball.
Okay.
Want to know more about your program. But is there anything else in this segment that you want to emphasize?
I guess the main thing is just how excited I am about this whole development. And it has been largely unplanned. It has come about in stages.
Yes.
And I've had several people ask me what drove me to start the organization, and I think it's just a combination of a whole lot of things and seeing the benefits of sports for people with disabilities.
Just seeing the smile and the joy that you're bringing to a group of folks who need a little more joy.
They need a little more joy.
Encouragement.
We have a strong community where there's quite a bit offered for people with disabilities, but it's still it's not even a fraction of what's offered for people who don't have disabilities. And so for sure. It really means a lot to that community.
Well, you know, we're that community that we're big enough, but we're small enough, but we're not big enough, but we're too big to be small. So when they that didn't come out right, but we're in this awkward teenage section. So what you're describing, so the opportunities are just out there for us to give, to serve. And when we come back, we're going to look in the crystal ball a little bit, and we're going to talk about where you're going and these programs are going, a little bit more about your classes, your students. Well, we're back with Melinda Mott Lefwich, and we're going to be looking in the crystal ball a little bit. We're going to be talking about the future, and we can still go back and talk about the present some, and then some of the plans. But it's very exciting that as our community grows, what we do for all segments of our society, and certainly our family of disabilities, and what a great program that you are involved in, Melinda. So
thank you.
Let's just pick up there and talk about. I'd like to know more about the program itself, kind of a description of just whatever you want to talk about, and success stories and what you've been about.
Okay, so the program is still. I'm still in the early phases, and so what we do this year might not be what we do next year, because as we find ways to tweak it and make it better, we will. So this year we offered a shorter session in partnership with Structured Athletics, and that was a program for all levels of athletes of all ability and disability. So during that program, it was a weekly program, and we scheduled about 6 weeks, and during that program, we had about a 1-to-1 ratio of volunteers typically, so Whoa. That if someone has more needs of having someone work with them, they would have a buddy right there.
You had personal attention.
Yes. And in that program, we had a whole variety of tennis things happening, all the way from maybe someone who's just working on tossing and catching, all the way to someone else who might be hitting a foam ball with a short racket over a small net. And then at the other end of the spectrum, we had people playing full court tennis.
Wow.
So we have a lot of abilities in that. And then after that short session was over, we started competitive clinics that we have scheduled weekly. But the weather this year has been a little bit unfriendly to us. Ugh. We got a significant amount of rain in the spring.
It floods early, and that's
and now we have heat issues. Mm-hmm. And we have several athletes who are prone to seizures, so we take the heat very seriously. And when you're out on a tennis court, it adds 10 to 15 degrees to the temperature, so you really have to be careful. So we have taken a small group. It was two athletes and two unified partners. We went to a tournament in South Carolina a few weeks ago, and we had a lot of fun. And last year we took a larger group than that, but the heat made a few people decide that they weren't willing to make the trek to South Carolina. It was about a 5.5-hour drive each way. Mm-hmm. So we went to that tournament and had a great time. And then we'll be having our own tournament here. So that's giving us something to prepare for. And our tournament is called the Golden Parrot Super Slam. And it will be held in September the 20th and 21st. And we'll have unified doubles. That's where a person with a disability is partnered with someone who does not have a disability. And you play doubles together, and it's loads of fun. And it assists the person who has disabilities if they need help with scoring, because tennis scoring is very confusing for everyone. Mm-hmm. And also, we just help keep the points going when it's needed. And it's at all levels of competition. We don't play down to the athletes. We play up to wherever level the athletes are playing. That's where the partners play. So it's lots of fun. We'll have unified doubles and also singles at our tournament in September. And I expect it to be fairly small this first year, but we hope to have athletes from other states coming in for us next year.
So we're playing now. This thing has been birthed. It's growing. It's expanding.
Yes.
And we're involved in a several state effort. And we're hosting it.
Yes, yes. And we probably will have mostly athletes from Tennessee this year, but I've been very fortunate to be asked to serve on the board of USTA Southern for not the board, but the committee for adaptive tennis. So I serve on that committee, and I'm also on a national adaptive committee. So okay, I'm making a lot of connections.
Learning,
people I can learn from.
And
yes.
It's all about it's networking and,
yes,
and that type of thing. How many people are you serving with disabilities? Is that
so? In our short term program this year, I think we had about 35 total. And then in our weekly program where we've been running the clinics, we've had somewhere between 12 and 14. And that's actually a very comfortable number for us right now because we are trying to give a lot of instruction. And in order to grow, which I anticipate that we will grow, I'll need a lot more volunteers.
Sure.
So I need volunteers who are willing to commit to, you know, helping regularly. We play right now on most Monday afternoons, 4:45 to 5:45 at Tennessee Tech Courts. And we have special events sometimes outside of that time. But that's our primary practice time.
Okay. What a great program you
Thank
got started.
You. And it's free. Everything's free.
Wow. What a great great opportunity to share and to help people help themselves, too. It's great stuff. And you've got Tennessee Tech involved.
That's right.
And you're involved now at a regional and national level. So future's bright.
And tennis is very accessible. It's a great sport for people with all kinds of abilities because you can adapt it. You can play on a shorter court with a different compression ball, smaller racket, all the way up to a full-size court, full-size racket, standard yellow tennis ball. And that helps you, that accommodates someone. So on a red ball, with a red ball, it's 25% compression of a standard tennis ball.
Okay.
So you can play that on a shorter court inside the service boxes, and someone whose mobility isn't as good, possibly an athlete with Down syndrome, can play red ball, short court tennis, and have lots of fun and play with a partner who doesn't have a disability or a friend or a sibling. It's a really inclusive sport.
So you're introducing people to a sport that they ordinarily might not have a chance to be introduced to.
That is probably true, yes.
You know, it's a... Because I'm a lot older than you are, but growing up, tennis, well, you know, there Jimmy Connors and Agassi and Chris Everett. And then we went through a period where tennis, you know, golf became, I'm not comparing, but I found tennis is more of an, still an international.
It's very international.
The international players is still big. I know we have international companies here like Ficosa. And their management team plays tennis. That's big.
Well, actually, several of the people who are regulars in our Tennis Upper Cumberland events for adults are international people who are living in this community, and that's how we are connected because we all love tennis.
That's great.
My friend, she's from China. You know, we have people from all over the world. I would never have been friends with her. And she works at Atmos, formerly Cummins Filtration.
Yeah, sure. So what a great opportunity to network and to keep this sport, to introduce this, reintroduce this sport.
Yes.
To America. Yeah.
And you ask about the future, so I have a lot of ideas, and I hope we can make most of them happen or all of them happen. And one of them is to add wheelchair tennis eventually.
Oh.
And so I have earned the level 1 wheelchair certification from USTA. So I'm looking for people who would like to learn how to play wheelchair tennis.
Okay.
And then hopefully we will also add tennis for people with visual impairment. I'm going to a training in a couple of weeks in Birmingham and learning about how to teach tennis to people who are blind and visually impaired. So we'll be adding that to our programming as well.
So this is really, we're all evolving and everything is, but this thing is really beginning to take off. I know.
Yes.
You set the foundation and you've done, put a lot of time in and you've had great people helping you. You've got Tennessee Tech, so the future's bright.
It sure is. I have joked many times that it was a Field of Dreams moment. If you build it, they will come. And I believe they're going to come. They've started already.
You know, and the least of these and how we take care of people.
Yes.
It's just a wonderful opportunity to serve, and you're doing that. And I get goosebumps just thinking about these kids and their parents and their friends who are being introduced to opportunities that they might not have an opportunity to do.
Well, one of the things that my dad liked to say to those whom much is given, much is expected.
Amen. See, we're on the faith base. That's great. And it's just, and that is the joy of what my wife and I and our family, this is home. This, and it's because of things like this. It's because of people like you and Tennessee Tech. We have people who care, and it's very obvious. And as we grow, we're going to have more and more people with needs.
Well, and the population, people with disabilities are about 1 in 4, 1 in 6 of our population.
See, I did not know that. Okay.
So, you know, if we as a community are leaving out that whole segment, we're not serving everyone.
And just think of the talent, not only the creative, the talent level that these folks.
The potential is there.
The potential is there.
Great
that
potential.
That is great. We've got a little time left. I've learned a lot, and that's amazing. There, again, this fits the program's mission here because there's so many things going on in our community and region that a lot of people might not know about, and you're sharing that. So if people want to volunteer, get involved more, personal information, contact information,
okay,
how can people get in touch with?
We would love to have more volunteers, and that can be families, groups, individuals. It does not require tennis background. And our new website is gameontennis.org, and there's lots of information on there, including how to contact me. And we are always looking for sponsors. We'll be looking for sponsors for our tournament because we want to keep things free and accessible to everyone. And we are looking for in-kind donations of snacks, water,
sure,
anything like that. We are always looking for nice, gently used court shoes for tennis, rackets, bags, any of those kinds of items. If you were a former tennis player and you have something you're not using. And those are the main ways that we could use help right now.
I'm having so much fun. We're about out of time, but God bless you, and thank you so much for what you're doing to make a difference in our community and your organization.